All right, everyone, welcome tonight to Paranormal Connections. I'm your host, Christina George, and tonight I have a special show, but it's also going to be, unfortunately, a shorter show than normal. Normally, we have a two-hour show, but unfortunately, I had a family emergency, so I am out of town right now and having to go back up to the hospital soon, so I just wanted to come for the show because we have a special reveal tonight. Many people will remember that we were, I don't know, probably a month or two ago, I had my guest tonight on, Greg Pollitt, and he is from the Supernatural and Paranormal University. And him and his co-founder, Noah, were both on the show when we were discussing the paranormal evidence contest that they were creating. And I was one of the sponsors of it, as well as I was a guest judge, along with a few others. And tonight we are back to not only announce the winners, but what they will receive and a little bit about their evidence, kind of how the contest went. I know that some people have contacted me recently wanting to know if there's going to be other ones. So we're going to talk about all those things tonight. Now, most of you are used to me doing a stream through Facebook Live as well. Again, unfortunately, since I am out of town and I wasn't able to do any of that tonight, but we will be back to doing that tomorrow. For anybody that wants to ask questions or has comments tonight, you can definitely check us out and put that in the Spreaker chat room, or you can go to the YouTube Live as well and ask your questions. So we're going to go ahead and start the show. Greg, are you there?
Chat room.
Yeah, Noah and I are both here.
Great. Oh, okay, great. You're both there. Okay. So, well, we're back to hear about the winners of the Paranormal Evidence Contest. We've got actually two winners, correct?
Correct.
And we're actually tonight, we are working on trying to get them connected. For whatever reason, we were having issues connecting with them. So we are just going to see what we can do. We'll keep trying. So let's talk a little bit about the evidence contest for those who weren't maybe at the show or didn't hear about it. I know that between myself, you, and Noah, all the judges, I mean, this has been shared high and low, so I'm sure a lot of people know about it. But for those who might not know, let's talk a little bit about the evidence contest and kind of how it ended up playing out.
Well, you know, as we talked about last time, you know, creating the Supernatural and Paranormal University, we wanted to come up with a way to try to get as many people involved as possible. Because our big promise is to get as much sharing of information so that we can create a larger database of that data to help develop new equipment and ultimately find the Goldilocks zone of the paranormal. So we can find how a spirit or ghost, if you want to call it that, uses energy to manifest so that we can present better data, better evidence, ultimately find better answers to make this a more respected and accredited science. So the ultimate thing we thought to kick it all off was to have a paranormal evidence contest. Try to get people to involve sharing their evidence. Ultimately, the whole para-unity thing is, in my opinion, a big joke. We're never going to get everybody to agree, and we know that starting. So, but a lot of people don't understand you can still not like each other together. So the higher purpose is the main goal here for all of us. And we had some pretty good interest in the content.
Now, what, you know, some people were asking, like, what kind of evidence were you looking for?
We wanted to keep it open and broad. It's if we
ask for something specific, it may upset somebody, and it's, you know, we can't keep everybody happy all the time, but whether it was great audio, great video, or still shots, whether it was from a FLIR, black and white, through night vision, if you were passionate about it and you knew that it was, in a way, your proof, then we wanted to agree with you in a way and let you show that passion off, that thought that you have that this is worth sharing, and others be enriched by seeing it as well.
Interesting. Well, you know, again, it's one of those things that, again, it's hard to sometimes know who's going to submit the information. But again, we did get some submissions. You know, it was interesting because there was, you know, some different types of stuff there that got submitted. So let's talk a little bit about some of the submissions.
Some of the submissions we got were a good variety mix. We had some videos showing some EVPs involved in it, thermal imaging videos, great photography pictures showing some anomalies that are questionable. You know, that's ultimately what we need to find out as a whole. Each group to themselves can find out that proof for themselves. Hopefully, we find expect the only way we can do that is to share information. So, I think we had some good entries. I think it was a little bit difficult to pick the people at. But I think we selected the right one.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You were cutting in and out a little bit. No, that's fine. So this time, you know, with the contest, we were looking for more paranormal evidence. Now, I know with your guys's, the Supernatural Paranormal University, you guys kind of cover a little bit of everything. So ufology, the paranormal, and I'm having a couple of people asking, are you ever going to have a contest for UFO-based or Bigfoot-based evidence?
Absolutely. I mean, the paranormal covers everything. It's not just ufology. It's not just ghosts or demons. You know, paranormal is anything above our normality and that isn't explained by science. And we need to find out what that is. So in the contest, you know, we called for everything. We called for pictures, video of ghosts, demons, UFOs, Bigfoot, Yeti, Bigfoot's cousin, granddaughter, you name it. You know, it was open to any and all pieces. Because we want to contest, we wanted to select the best pieces presented to ultimately spark that sharing ability from everyone. Because that's the biggest goal, for everybody to work together to find answers. And a lot of people kind of self-centered around their own group to a degree, and I don't mean that as a negative thing, but at the same time, think of how much more data we could get if we all work together. Better equipment. Now, if you're one group that goes on maybe 12 investigations a year, get limited data, but you can multiply that by 1,000 groups, get a lot more data. So, for the contest, we wanted any and everything that could be seen. We weren't trying to debunk anything. The only things that were going to be debunked would be obvious, fake apps. Other than that, everything was great.
Greg, hold on just a second. I think, Joe, if you're listening to the back of the room, I think we're going to need to drop Greg, call him back, and just on the audio. I think that with his video trying to load, it's doing something because they're telling me in the chat that he's cutting in and out as well. So if you are listening, you can do that. I'd appreciate it. Or, Greg, if you want to disconnect, I can add you back in.
Sure.
Okay. All right, everybody, give me just a second. All right, now how come it doesn't let me add him? Hold on just a second. Are you back?
We are back.
All right. All right, we'll see if that fixes the issue. Sorry, everybody. Again, you know, hey, I would say that it's something new, but when we're doing my show, who knows what happens? So you gotta love live radio. Right. Okay, so now we have, you know, a bunch of different entries to take a look at. We were hoping to be able to get two of the two winners into the chat with us so that they could talk a little bit about the evidence. And unfortunately, we can't get you connected with the video on Skype, or I was going to have you show the different things. So maybe I'll have to post the pictures of the winning evidence once we get off the show, but I'll try to post it there. But let's talk about the winners and the type of evidence. Now, do you know any of the background on the evidence that the two winners submitted?
I know a little bit of the background, and actually I got a hold of Tony. He is able to give a call now. Ian.
Okay. Joe, we need you to call Tony back, please.
He got a little confused with
the time. Gotta love the time difference, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so...
Yeah, I'll let Tony go over the background with his piece if we can get him, you know, get him to come through. But it was a pretty good piece of thermal imaging video. And these things are very interesting, a great tool to use in the field. They can answer so many questions that are paranormal and non-paranormal related. So I thought it was kind of a really good piece of evidence to show.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the one thing with all of our, the people that were the judges, well, actually, let's give a little bit of credit to the judges because there was more than just myself. So let's talk a little bit about the judges that helped in all of this.
Well, absolutely. You know, the judges, you
great group.
You know, did a great job going through everything. We had several discussions through the group. You know, talking about the evidence and several other subjects. So a big, huge shout out to you, Christina, to Kat Hobson, to Gavin Kelly, also to Rob Damiris. A lot of people know him from Ghost Hunters International and several other projects he's been involved with. So everyone volunteered their time to help take part in judging this. He asked you guys to judge this so that it was completely impartial and not anything that Noah or I or Supernatural Paranormal University thought would be the winners, and completely impartial and up to you guys to decide who won.
Yeah.
And equal for everyone.
Right. And I do have to say, I mean, when we were doing this, we actually looked over everything we had. And, you know, again, we wanted to be fair. There was a lot of entries that, you know, had interesting stuff going on. And different evidence. But one of the things that I liked was that when it was time for us to, you know, judge, we actually were all on the same page. It was like unanimous on our decisions. It was kind of interesting. Hello? Because we were all... Hello, Tony?
Yes.
Hi. Hey, welcome to the show. This is Christina from Paranormal Connections. I'm on the show with... we're live right now. I've got Greg and Noah on the line. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we were just talking about you and the evidence, and I just wanted to, you know, say, first of all, congratulations and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a real honor to have this as one of the prizes for the winning entry, and I'm very excited about it.
Absolutely. Now, before we get to, you know, what you won, I want to talk a little bit about the evidence that you had submitted, because it was very, very interesting. And so maybe you could, like, give us a little bit of background on, you know, where you were. Were you, you know, are you with the team? Like, you know, what did you capture? Just kind of, you know, background information on, you know, when it was captured.
Sure. That particular evidence was probably captured, I'm going to have to say, about 3 years ago. My wife and I are the entire team that encompasses Entity Voices. And it's a funny story, but she was always into the paranormal, and I really didn't think too much to it. I had some experience that happened when I was younger, and as I grew up, I was in a very, my father was a physicist, and he taught physics, physical science, chemistry, so everything was sort of scientific based. So anything that happened along a paranormal line, I didn't really pay too much attention to. So then when I met my wife and we got married, she would watch all the ghost adventure shows, any of them that were out there, she would watch. I couldn't sit through them. I didn't think they were real. I didn't think that what they were experiencing truly happened. And one Valentine's Day, she asked me, I want to do something different this year. I said, okay, what do you want to do? She said, I want to go to someplace haunted. So being accommodating and trying to fill her request, I said, okay. So I booked a weekend at a hotel here in Phoenix that typically was known for years for being haunted. I bought her basic equipment, night vision camera, EMF, digital recorder, and we went off for the weekend. We did the ghost hunting. It wasn't until we got home that she started going through it that I was absolutely blown away. Could not believe what was on there. We had apparitions and photos. We had responses to direct questions. I was blown away. I was absolutely mesmerized. So we continued to go back.
Well, I have to say, I love the fact when a skeptic turns into a believer. You know, it really takes experiencing it for yourself, seeing it for yourself. I've had a lot of, you know, so-called, you know, skeptics that don't really believe in the paranormal. And unfortunately, because, you know, the television shows are, you know, majorly scripted. You know, there's so many reasons why people don't believe it, you know, so to go out and actually go for search of answers for yourself. And it sounds like for you, it wasn't even like searching for answers. It was just like, you know, that's what your wife wanted to do. You're being a great husband and saying, sure, I might not believe in it, but I'll go. And, you know, wow, what an experience to be able to get things right off the bat.
And it was. And like I said, I could not comprehend what we had captured, but I was so curious that we kept going back. And I think we've probably investigated that location over the past 5-6 years, probably 50 or more times. And the experiences just kept increasing. And one of the questions that I asked the first time we were there was, I asked a simple question of, what's your name? And I got a response. The name that responded was Candy. Well, over the next couple times returning, I would ask for Candy, and she would reply. I have an EVP recording where I said, Candy, are you here? And the response is, yes, hello. And that was the benchmark when I completely, from skeptic to believer, and then what we've experienced over the past 6-7 years, obviously, that whole experience has just grown and grown and grown. But to answer your question about the footage that I sent in, obviously, as we grew in this interest, so did our equipment. We managed to get our hands on a FLIR thermal camera. And I believe this was the first time we had even taken it into this particular location. And I flipped it on, made sure it was recording. I was aiming it down the hall, just getting prepared, and this figure, no body heat whatsoever, room temperature, you can clearly see it's human shaped, walks right across the hall.
Nice. And it's completely different. You know, again, when you go back to a location multiple times, you do and can kind of get a rapport with the spirits that are there. I mean, I've done it. I used to docent for the very well-known Preston Castle here in Northern California, in Ione, California. And I've done many events there, and there are spirits of children everywhere in there. And they used to not be happy that people were investigating. And anybody that I have interviewed that said, you know, oh, I went up there, a lot of times they might get something, they might not. But as they started to come back more often, and the spirits got, I guess, more comfortable with them and realized, okay, they're not meaning us any harm or anything. Oh, wow. Like, I can go there and, you know, I'm like definitely like the ghost magnet that, you know, the spirits want to come out and play. And I've noticed that with a lot of investigators that have certain locations that they go back to quite often. And again, once you kind of, you know, make that connection with, you know, the spirits there, it's like greeting an old friend, and they're happy to interact with you. Is that what you've been found too?
That is an absolute fact. And the more we went in there, the more that rapport with them grew. In fact, the last time we were in there, we walked in, the second I flipped on the EVP as well as the digital camera, and I always used to make a joke when we'd walk back in and we'd start recording, the first thing I would say is, we're back. And the last response that we received with a very clear EVP was, welcome home, Tony.
Wow.
So yes, not only do we know names of them, they've given us names first and last. They've over the time that we've spent investigating there, telling them, you know, we're not here to kick you out, we're not here to hurt you, we are here strictly just to communicate, that rapport grew and grew and grew. And not only does that connection grow with the spirits that are in a particular location, but we also notice then that, you know, the activity grew, and the knowledge of what was happening and when it was happening grew, and the ability to hear them not only on digital recorders grew, and we were able to start to be able to hear them at times with our own ears. And then we noticed that they were following us home. And our home is not old, and it's a modern house. There's very little history to it, but we can't run a digital recorder or a video in our house without voices coming out of nowhere. So it's, once you open that door, your life changes.
That is very true. And especially a lot of times, if spirits make a connection with you, sometimes they will follow you home. But even if not, you know, one thing that I always tell people is that when you investigate in your own home, whether it's trying to get EVPs or doing things, you know, you're opening and inviting a connection between, you know, you and the spirit world. So a lot of times you will have that. I mean, there's ways obviously to stop that in your own home. Me being a psychic medium myself, I absolutely try to keep, you know, my house clear, because it's the only one place that I have as a sanctuary where I can kind of block everything and keep them out, so I can actually not, you know, have some peace of mind and a break for a minute. But it's very, very interesting. Now, you said that you were able to get first and last names on some of these spirits. Did you know, were you able to do some research and find any evidence through historical records or death records to back up the information you were getting?
Yes, we took the Arizona Press Gazette, which has been around since the late 1800s, and went through records of every first and last name that we had. We could not find any direct connection to those names in the listings in the newspaper. But the thing about the location of the San Carlos is that, you know, we've noticed over the, like I said, 40 or 50 times that we've investigated, that the spirits are not always the same. There were times we've gone weeks, months, and heard the same ones. And, you know, as the years passed and we would continue to go there to investigate, that some of the spirits that were there were not any longer there. And we were even given that information saying, nope, they're not here, they have left. So that particular location, whether it's a portal or whatever other means that spirits have of traveling, they're not spirits that are stuck there.
Nice, nice. Now, what part of the state are you in, and can you mention where the evidence was captured, or was it a private location?
Well, it's a hotel, and okay. It's the Hotel San Carlos in downtown Phoenix.
Nice. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the evidence itself that you submitted, and tell us a little bit about the evidence itself.
Well, like I said, I was just beginning to set up the FLIR camera, and I think it was probably one of the first times that we had actually used it. We got a great deal on it. We purchased it. We thought this was, you know, we need this for investigation. So like I said, we were standing in the hallway in the San Carlos. It was pointed down from one end of the hallway to the other. And as I was setting it up, we use a secondary device to send the signal to and also record it. It's a portable DVD or DVR recorder. And so as I'm setting it up and focusing it, and it literally happened that quick. This figure appeared on the screen. And although there's no audio with the evidence that I produced, I think we do have all the audio from what had occurred and when I saw it. Because the second I saw it, I screamed to my wife, I'm like, come look at this, there's someone standing here. She rushed over, we're watching the screen. The figure stood there for a minute. And if you look at the evidence very closely, there's a figure in the center of the hallway, and it looks as though it's reaching its arms out. And there appears to be, and I can't be 100% certain, but there appears to be a second figure behind the walled gate. The way this hallway lays out is that it's a relatively narrow hallway all the way down to the end, and then it opens into a much larger hallway. And the hallway runs on both sides of the one we're standing looking down. But it appears to be a second figure standing behind the wall, which you can only see at times their arms, but it looks like they're almost hugging. And it was the most bizarre thing I had ever seen at that time. Like I said, this was years ago. But then the figure literally walked, and you can see the leg movement as it walks across the screen, and it walks out of the frame. And then a few minutes later, it walks back into the hallway, and it you can't tell facial features or anything, so I don't know which way it's facing. But according to what's captured on the FLIR, it kind of looks like it's staring right at us. And then it walked off quickly and disappeared and was gone.
Well, Mike in our chat room is asking, what color was the figure?
The figure was a greenish gray. And the hallway colors range in temperature from orange down to purple. So the fact that it was green, was saying it was room temperature. It had no body heat. There was no red. There was no orange. There was no white. It absolutely had no body.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, I mean, again, I was one of the judges and I saw it. And for those, Joe, I've sent it to you in chat, the video, so maybe you'll be able to download it and pull it up on the screen for our Skype. The people on YouTube. Otherwise, what I'll do for everybody else, as I said, I will post the evidence of not only Tony's, but also Billy, who's our other winner, and let you check it out. Very, very interesting. I actually love using the FLIR cameras. Even though I can see spirits, to me, I'm not a big electronics person or the gadgets, but on the other hand, like when I see something, I really like to check and see if all this, you know, these gadgets actually work or not. And I will tell you that the FLIR camera has been very, very good at validating what I'm seeing. Like I can say, okay, the spirit's right here and point to it, and they can put the FLIR camera over there and pick something up. So, I always loved when I talk to teams or investigators that do use a FLIR camera. And again, a lot of people don't have them. They are not cheap, for sure.
Not cheap. No.
But what is in the paranormal field? I always laugh when people think they're going to get in this field and make all kinds of money, because I'm like, do you realize like how much money you actually put out? Not only in, you know, equipment, but upkeep, gas, you know, travel, arrangement, all these different things. So yeah, not a whole lot of money. You really have to be, you know, a diehard, either, you know, researching and wanting to find, you know, explanations and answers to put out to people. Or just if people are doing like private cases, a real need to want to help those being affected in the paranormal world. You know, so I love when the people actually do have the money or the equipment. And I always say, you know, if you're a paranormal team and you see, this is why I think that paranormal unity would be a great thing if anybody would actually do it. I work with all kinds of teams, and a lot of times when, you know, say a team wants to use a specific type of equipment and they don't have it, like I can call on another team and borrow their equipment for the night or something like that, or bring somebody to come in so we can teach them how to use different equipment. So it's very interesting, but, you know, I definitely love, you know, the FLIR camera evidence for sure. Now, okay, so Lisa off of Twitter is asking me, hold on, it says video is running. I don't see it, Joe, so it might be downloading. I'm not sure. It's not playing on Skype that I can, I mean on YouTube that I can see. But I guess there it is. Okay, on YouTube, you guys are seeing it up there. It's up running now, so check it out. So Lisa is asking, has there been any other, sorry, she doesn't know how to spell either. I'm sorry, Lisa, but relevant evidence that you have gotten using your FLIR camera. So I guess anything else to back up this type of evidence using the FLIR?
We do. That was one of the, that was one of the first ones. And that one is, like I said, unique because, let's face it, the FLIR is used as a thermal camera, and any body heat that is around any living object is going to show that body heat. That figure has none. But have we captured other ones? We have.
Absolutely. Now, you know, what was your thought as far as the whole idea of a paranormal evidence contest? Because to be honest, it has really been, you know, kind of confronted with mixed reviews that I've seen, which kind of surprised me, but another side didn't really surprise me.
Well, you know, the concept to me is fantastic, but it's a fantastic idea with people who believe in the para-unity that you just spoke of. The community today seems to have broken apart. And some of that is because of the television shows that are out there and the people that want the fame and the acknowledgement, and that's their purpose for doing it. If you're truly in it to investigate and you want answers, whether that be personally for yourself, which part of me definitely falls underneath that scenario. When I got the information that, hey, this stuff exists, and I confirmed it over and over and over, that's where my personal interest grew. But there's nothing better to be able to capture it with devices that you were speaking of and being able to share that with other people. So the contest to me was a great idea. Let's see what other people have captured. Let's share that. Let's talk about it. Let's try to, because for every question that's answered in the paranormal, there's 100 more questions that come up. It is a field. It is the paranormal, beyond normal, above normal. So it's a never ending question. And the more people that are doing it, and the more people can see what evidence has been captured and then take that evidence and use it as if they've captured it themselves and say, okay, how was this done? How was it captured? Can I replicate it? That's what grows the field. in this field is one that needs that growth more than probably any other, because, you know, there you've got skeptics who don't believe. And I was one of those at one time. But I'm not anymore because of what I've personally experienced. And you've got people that throw out the scientific method at you to disconcern what you've captured. And they can do that all day. But let's face it, the scientific method is based on the reality of which we live in. And it's based on how things operate here and now. The paranormal is paranormal. It's not going to follow the scientific method of the world we live in. So you have to be open to that experience to be able to open your mind enough to reevaluate with critical thinking, not just scientific thinking. What do I have here? How did it happen? Can I reproduce it? Maybe you can't every time. Paranormal is not a thing that you can just ask for and it occurs. It doesn't work that way. It takes years to replicate things. So the contest to me is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and I love that, you know, you point all this out, because one of my, you know, biggest pet peeves, I mean, in the public eye, I've been in the field investigating for over 15 years. And so, again, starting back then in the public is actually a much different time, because there wasn't this big fascination with paranormal. There were very few groups, and the few groups that were out there would usually kind of pull together and want to like work together and things like that. But it seemed like as soon as the paranormal TV shows came on, everything just fell in a handbasket. You know, now we've got, you know, back and people, and Greg, you know, I know you guys will agree with this too. For people who've been in the field for a very long time, we noticed that, you know, those people were actually, you know, interested in the field and trying to bring together some answers. And we all know there are no so-called experts in this field. Although now there's plenty of people that want to claim that they're experts because they're in the field and they've been in it like a year and they've watched maybe 3 years of, you know, the worst show on earth, you know,
right.
I'm not even gonna give them any credit, but we all know who, you know, oh, screw it, Ghost Adventures. So, you know, people get all this, they think that they can make all kinds of money, you know, they decide to provoke, they don't realize 99% of the stuff on TV is all, you know, scripted and faked for, you know, the dramatic effect and to get people to watch. But it started to make everybody think that not only were they kind of know-it-alls, everybody thought they were experts. I saw people, I personally, somebody on my team, had their cousin lives in another, city, right? Probably about, I don't know, a couple hours from me. And he does paranormal investigating out there. He's got a little, you know, radio show as well. And he literally, when he was trying to get fame, he literally banned me from the whole city. He told me that I could not come to the city. I had Sacramento and he had Fresno, and that was just how it was. And it was like, there was, you know, no, it was a boundary. You couldn't cross those boundaries. And I thought, what in the world? Like who does that? And who's creating these rules? And it's just seemed to snowball effect. I mean, people don't want to share their evidence. They don't want to share their locations. They don't want other people investigating because they don't want people to go and get, you know, maybe capture something, you know, different. But me personally, I think that's exactly what needs to be done. You know, I mean,
I completely agree. I mean, this isn't a competition. I mean, you're looking for the knowledge, you're looking for the understanding, and that takes research. Research is not done in a vacuum or alone. It is done as a cooperative team. And until the paranormal field can go back to that, we're going to struggle. And it also provides negative influence. It shows, you know, to the rest of the community who may not believe yet, and we're working so hard to try to say, hey, you know, look at this. This was captured. What do you think of this? When you have that negativity where people are, it becomes a competition. And like you said, he didn't want you in Sacramento because that was his territory. You know, I've seen that twofold on all sorts of venues and groups and all sorts of other things. But the true object of the research is to understand and to learn. And to do that as a group will be much more successful than it ever will be in any individual.
Kyle, if you give me after the show, I will actually send you the clip itself if you like to see it. Not a problem. Julian says, was lately thinking about these new portal stuff, and a link it back way Changeling used to move from place to place. Maybe it's not about dimension, but different realms that we're soon to be aware of. The veil is definitely thinning. So, definitely could be for sure, Julian. I think so. And, okay. So,
yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah. And, you know, anytime anything is proposed with the paranormal, it's always as theory, because to get scientific hard facts in the paranormal is pretty close to impossible, which means we research and we evaluate on theory. So any of those theories that she threw out could possibly be correct. And until we have some means or ability to show that positively, we will always deal in theory.
Absolutely. And everybody has their own theories and their own opinions on anything. Right. You know, there's nothing that bothers me more than for teams, and especially the newer teams. Because to be absolutely honest, I'm probably, one of those old school people that I don't share my evidence. I used to put it out there because, you could have some great conversations and people could point things out or discount things. Not anymore. You everybody now again is a know-it-all. And when you young teams put out, or even just anybody who puts out their evidence, it's just like a public attack. Like, you don't see people saying, oh, great footage or great capture, or, hey, this is, from a lens flare, or, this can be explained. No, it immediately they attack, especially if it's good. They'll say, oh, nope, that's not real. I've had people yep. say that, the flare cameras, oh, that's all fake. Don't trust that. And anybody who gets it. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And a lot of, I was actually finding that. And Greg, this is a great place for you and Noah to come in too. That was one of the big things. A lot of people did not want to share evidence because that's one thing they said, like when I was contacting people, because I know a lot of people in this field, and I know a lot of people have really great evidence. They're like, not interested in sharing. It's just another bash fest. And I was like, wow, it's sad that we are at this point. Now, did you kind of get feedback like that as well, Greg? Did you guys?
Initially, we got a couple of responses where people thought we were just trying to gather their evidence to put it into a book or a video and try to profit from it. And, we made that very clear in our disclosures that that is not our intention. We have no intention of doing that. and just kind of touching base back on something that you had mentioned about, your cousin drawing boundary lines. There's no paranormal sanctuary cities. There's no restrictions on where you can go, where I can go to investigate. I know people like to, hoard their locations because they think they get really great evidence. They want to treat it well. Some other groups treat it poorly. I get that. The biggest factor, as Tony mentioned, as we've said many times, is trying to get cooperation. You don't have to like people you work with, but you need to share your evidence. And the biggest reason you need to share it is so we can ultimately find out answers for everybody.
Well, yeah. And, but I think that what it is like, again, everybody, people couldn't get on TV because it was very hard to be able to get a television show. So the next best thing was YouTube. And so everybody created a YouTube channel, and they would go out and put out their, their evidence. And a lot of people wanted to keep the locations secret because they felt like if anybody went out there, it would take away from their glory or, the stuff that they're putting out. And, I've had so many debates on this, and I keep telling you, like, to have other people come in and investigate a location that you have, a lot of times can help dramatically. I mean, another team may get evidence that you never got. It doesn't mean that you're not a good team or it's not, but there are so many different techniques. People use so many different types of, gadgets and technology to, capture evidence now. And sometimes, Me personally, like I said, I don't do gadgets. So I'm one of those that I'm just kind of like to go in myself. I might have, you know, like old school EVP recorder and I'm in my flashlight and I'm good to go. I don't really, it's, the rest of my team, yeah, they love the technology stuff, but it doesn't really work well with me. So it's one of those things. But it was funny because when I was told, you know, by my teammate's cousin that I couldn't go to Fresno, I was, you know, banned from the whole city. Now, mind you, it's a huge city. But, you know, the sanctuary city, maybe, you know, we are in California. So maybe they just thought that that applied to paranormal and anything and everything. You just be anything, you can be a sanctuary city. Okay. But for me, I was like, really? So I can't go there. So the very next weekend, of course, if anybody knows me, I had to go and show up and, you know, do a little video and post it, make sure that they knew that, you know, I'm not gonna be banned from anywhere. I think, again, this field is so ridiculous sometimes, and people think that, you know, they make up their own rules and, you know, just decide that they're going to implement them. And I don't know, you know, why it is they think that it works. But if people would, you know, just loosen up a little bit and share and support each other, because again, we have to remember that, you know, as investigators, we complain a lot about the television shows because of all of the training that is being, you know, utilized based off these shows. I've had more teams and I said, well, so, you know, where did you get your training? And they're like, oh yeah, I watch Ghost Adventurers. I watch this or that. And I'm like, oh crap, really? Okay. So, you know, probably in 6 months, you'll be one of my clients. But, and that's one of the reasons that I really, and Greg, and Noah, you know, I mean, I had you guys on, I was really against the whole idea of the paranormal university and classes and all of that. But you know, after I talked to you guys, it really made an impact on me. And really, I have to say, changed my mind, because I really do, when I'm seeing what a mess the field is coming to, I really think that we need to like step back, you know, do a little bit of, you know, or put or make available training to people who, you know, are interested in doing things the correct way, as well as learning to share with each other and help teach each other. Because again, a lot of times you get new teams and they think that they've got something amazing on, captured on film. And as experienced investigators, we may 100% realize, oh, you know, there's an alternate explanation for that. And, you know, so a lot of times we could help each other, you know, and things like this, or encourage each other, but instead of just attacking each other, it just gets to be so ridiculous. So I'm, you know, to be honest, like, again, I got a lot of mixed, you know, feelings from people on if they were interested in doing it. And I think they want to just kind of sit back and see how the first one went and then, you know, go from there. So, you know, maybe all of this is a really good thing. Now, Greg, I know that in the future you're planning to do another contest, and again, we're probably going to do it a little bit different this time. And you know, and again, this is all kind of trial and error that we're, you know, doing with these things to get people involved, things like that. So, are you planning another one in the near future?
Yeah, we're actually in the works with it, kind of drawing up some details and what we're looking forward to do. We're talking to some sponsors, trying to figure out some good prizes to give away. One of the big things that we'll do in the next one, since so many people had a problem with it, with paying the admission fee, everyone thought we were trying to get rich off of an entry fee, which was beyond ridiculous.
$5. Like, we're not talking like a $50 entry fee. Like, I mean, but you know what? We talked about this on the first show, right? And I'm absolutely just like, people will spend thousands of dollars on, you know, their equipment and everything, but they are so cheap when it comes to paying for anything else to be involved. Everybody in this field thinks that everything should be for free. And if it's not for free, then, you know, whatever. It's not any good.
Everyone was well informed that all the funds gained from the entries were going to be distributed to the prize winners, you know, and to pay for the t-shirts that were sent out. You know, and people were saying, oh, well, how is $500 going to pay for a t-shirt? It wasn't nothing like that.
Right.
You know, we were hoping that if we got enough entries that first place, you know, if there was $1,000, first place would get 750, you know, second or, you know, 700, second place would get like 300, third place 50, you know, something to break it all down equally and you know, people, human nature is to protect what we think is ours. That's a basic thing, and I get that. But when you're looking at the field as a whole, when you're looking at your team, and ultimately, you need to take yourself, your ego, out of the entire situation. Because as Tony said, as we've said, as you've said, Christina, you know, working together is going to get us all much farther than sitting idly back and watching two people claim they have the best evidence other when other people can contribute to that. You may have the best piece ever found on the planet. No one is ever going to believe it until they have a personal experience that's going to change it for themselves. So
I gave up trying to convince
skeptics a long time ago because you're never going to convince them. And instead of letting that negativity from people bashing your evidence and those type of scenarios, you know, who cares what they think? Who cares what they think? It's not about them. It's not about you. It's not about me. We are here to find answers for our client. We're here to find answers for the field. And we're not going to do that if we keep our egos involved and be selfish and try to protect everything from the imaginary monster of other people gaining the same knowledge that we could have as well.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Now, let's talk about the prize that Tony won, because to be absolutely honest, it's a great prize, I have to say. I mean, some of the stuff that was, you know, offered up to the winners were some pretty good things.
Yes, it was. That I will attest to.
All right, Greg, so what was the prize for first place winner?
The big ultimate prize, Tony is going, well, I should let him announce it.
There you
absolutely
go.
Well, first off, you know, Tony, your shirt's in the mail. Thanks for your address.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. I look forward to receiving that. But yes, one of the prizes that Greg just mentioned was, you know, a Paranormal University's t-shirt. I'm very excited to have that. You know, most of the people that we communicate with are all have one foot or two or their entire body in the paranormal field. So, you know, it's good to share when there's resources out there, when there's information out there, and that shirt will help do that. So that's great. But the big prize that came with winning this contest was my own radio show for a year. And that to me, because there's two things I like to do. I like to get evidence. I like to talk to other people that go out and search for it on their own. But I love to review that evidence. I like to talk about how they captured it. All of the things that you were saying that as ParaUnity should successfully complete, those are the things that I love to do. And this show will allow that to happen on a scale much bigger than me walking around talking to people. So it opens up the audience to people that may not be familiar with what is being captured today and how it's being captured and the locations and the methods used. Everybody investigates a little bit differently. And that to me is a wonderful thing, because if everyone was doing it exactly the same, which is what the people who come off of the television show education do, and let's face it, no television show is looking to define the paranormal. They're looking for ratings. It has nothing to do with actually gathering information that's going to help answer questions.
Well, that's true. And not only that, but on top of it, you know, for anybody who's been in this field for a long time, if they actually did a television show that truly represented what the paranormal investigating entails, it would be a boring show. Because we all know that, you know, it's a lot of time spent, you know, getting nothing. And sometimes you can go out and get nothing. Other times you can go out
absolutely
and like a hot spot. You know, you never know. But I don't know too many people that every single week go out and find, you know, demonic attacks everywhere. Just haven't encountered that. But again, nope. I think that, you know, having a radio show, I mean, again, I started out investigating. And then from there, I knew that I needed to, you know, get the information out, educate people, share my experiences. And so I started speaking on the conference, you know, circuit. And then that kind of got played out really quick because of all the drama in the conferences. So I was like, well, you know what? Look, then I need a bigger platform. And so I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe radio. And, you know, here all these years later, I'm there. It's, you know, it's fun. I've never been, you know, concerned about ratings. I always said to everybody when I started, if there's one person that listens to my show and it helps them in some way, whether it helps to them on an investigation or reviewing evidence or answering questions, whatever it might be, I will do this forever. Until I have absolutely nobody listening to me anymore. And who knows, maybe I'll just talk to myself. I would still do it and put it out there anyway. But, you know, all these years, it is very popular. And a lot of people say, oh, you know, who wants a paranormal radio show? There's thousands of them out there. Well, you know what? I will tell you, yes, there are. There's all different types. But each of us has, you know, our own following. And, you know, just on this show alone, and I host two shows a week, we have anywhere between 500,000 and 700,000 live worldwide listeners each week, each night. So that just tells you, you know, the amount of people out there that crave this kind of information, these kinds of discussions. So again, I'm hoping that not only with my show, Cat Show, you know, your new show, and congratulations, I think you're going to really enjoy it. And I don't think sometimes people understand, like, that's a huge price, because for even, you know, if you go say to Blog Talk or Spreaker, you're paying, you know, probably, you know, $35-$40 a month just to have a show that you do weekly. And so if you add that over a year, that is a damn good, you know, prize right there. So I have to say kudos to the network that put that, you know, put that out for the prize. That it was an awesome prize.
Could not agree more. And like I said, I was just starting to receive information today and was just blown away by what it actually entails and what is being offered. And, you know, great for a giveaway from just the perspective of what was offered. But then on top of that, to multiply what can now be done with that opportunity. And like you said, if you can help anyone that may be concerned or have questions, or like I said, the worst case to ever be trained from is a television show that's based on ratings. But to be able to get some hard factual evidence from people who are out there on a daily basis experiencing it and, you know, showing what was captured, talking about how it was captured, that's where the true growth of the entire paranormal field will come from. And this opportunity for me, I could not be happier.
Yeah. So do you have a name for your show yet? Have you thought about this?
Oh, I've thought about it. I have a list with about 40 names right now that I'm trying to weed down. And so, no, I don't have a specific name yet. You know, even something as simple as a name can be challenging when you're trying to encompass, you know, not only what you're talking about, but your maybe personal opinion and, you know, what you want to come across in that name, so people go, okay, he's going to be talking about, so, you know, there's little minute challenges in every aspect of it. So no, it's not decided yet.
Well, and then on top of it, you also have to, like, Google, you know, the names that you are thinking about using, because so many people out there have, you know,
already have that name.
Already have that name, right? So you put it out there, exactly. And then, you know, the host finds out somehow when they go look for one of their archives and they send you a nasty email that you're using their name. So yeah, it, you know, it's not as easy as people think, but it's definitely a lot of fun. I mean, I've been doing this for years, and I have not only interviewed thousands of people, but, you know, I have made some really, really great friendships of, you know, that went from guests to it. Because again, a lot of us have a lot of similar, you know, experiences and, you know, thoughts on the paranormal, but I actually, you know, love hearing people who have different opinions and, you know, having debates on these things and discussing all of these topics. And, you know, even more, what I've found is that people love to, if they find a place where they feel it's safe, you know, love to share their personal experiences. But, you know, there's a lot of shows that will allow callers, they won't screen them, or they'll allow, you know, the callers to bash the experiencer. And, you know, I've never been about that. I always wanted to give people a safe place to be able to share their experiences. Whether people wanted to believe it or not, that's fine. But I was sure as heck wasn't going to let people, you know, come and bash them on my show. So I think that these kind of shows are very, very important overall. So I'm looking forward to your show and listening in. And, you know, anytime that, or when you're ready to debut it, you know, let me know and we'll bring you back on the show so that you can debut it and all the information and promote it all over the network. So, you know, I personally love working with other, you know, other people in the field. So I think that's what we have to do. That's how we have to, it's the little steps. You know, I mean, again, this field is like so unraveled that we right. really kind of, instead of worrying about the whole field, we need to just look for those people like us that do want to share, do want to learn, do want to be part of things like that and build on that. Because just like with Skip, you're not going to be able to convince everybody and nor get them on board. So I think that it'll be, and these are important steps.
Completely agree. Yes.
Tony, Noah has a great program he's been working on. He's actually got licensing worked out. He's got a name for it.
Really? It's
something to consider. Here's something that he'll share with you.
Okay. This is just back to the inside joke of yodeling yoga. Greg's just throwing me under the bus with this. I'm going to get forced to do this one of these times. It is funny. Buddy, props to you. We're looking forward to what you've got. If we can ever assist you with anything, you feel free to hit us up. It's amazing. What you found was amazing. More power to you. And I'll get you in on the first yodeling yoga show that I do.
Yeah. Perfect. That sounds great. And I want to give a thanks to everyone who participated in setting up the contest. I thought it was wonderful. I enjoyed submitting. Like I said, I love sharing our evidence and you're correct. You have people on both sides. You got the people, no matter what you capture, no matter what you show, they're going to pull it apart. And then you got the people on the other end who you can show dust floating by and they're in awe. But then you've got that group of people that will look at it, critically think about it, and give opinions rather than criticism. And that's what's going to grow this field. But this opportunity and being able to submit the evidence that I submitted into this contest was an absolute pleasure. Everyone I've spoken to and worked with so far has been absolutely wonderful. And so I'm so excited about this opportunity and hope that I can bring to the table the same type of mindset, judgment, evidence that all of you are doing today. And I just want to say thank you.
Nice. Well, we're getting some stuff through chat. Pat saying, I learned something new on every show. And, you know, that's the kind of feedback I love. I mean, we have a lot of fun here. I mean, some days, you know, the topics are very serious, like when I was doing the one with the Ouija board. And then on, you know, other times we're just absolutely silly. Who knows? We just give our own opinions on all the silly news that's out there in the paranormal. You never know. Again, if people are listening and they're learning something, you know, that they can take away from each show, like that's what this is all about. And each one of us is, you know, a part of contributing to that. And, you know, so I think exactly. that although maybe this contest kind of, you know, was hit with a little bit of resistance from a lot of people, again, I think that, you know, especially in this field, because people pop up with new stuff all the time and you know, who knows, like I can remember, and I'm probably going to get hate mail for this one too, but I can remember when, you know, the whole Ghost Be Gone spray came out.
Yeah, I remember that.
I know I'm going to get hate mail for this, but hey, you know, people know that's how I am. You know, and I just kind of thought, oh my gosh. And it was huge. And people were like spending all of this money. And then they were like so upset because the ghosts weren't gone when they were like spritzing it around their cases. And so people got, you know, kind of skeptical of things. And then, you know, we had the phenomena where people were taking in, you know, hundreds or not thousands of dollars and then canceling the events, not giving anybody their money back. So I think that, you know, like so many things have happened, and even, you know, with psychic mediums, I mean, it was like as soon as the Dead Files came out and, you know, showed psychics, you know, being utilized in a positive way in the paranormal, like everybody instantly the next day was changing their name from, you know, Joe Smith to, you know, psychic medium Joe Smith, you know. So I think that a lot of people are very reluctant and hesitant. So I think that sometimes they just kind of hang around in the background. They're like, I'm not going to be part of it right now, but I'm just going to see how this plays out and see if what they promise actually happens. And, you know, again, no matter what happened, whether we got, you know, 1,000 entries or we would have only gotten, you know, 2 entries, you know, this contest was going to go forward either way. And I'm glad that that happened. And I'm glad to see again that we've got 2 great winners and, you know, a show that's coming out of this. And it really, it shows like there's reasons and great things that can come of entering stuff like this and sharing. So I really think that, you know, the next one will be even better. I think that it's going to grow each time, you know, that we do something. And that's what I really look forward to.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate outcome for doing anything, is to grow that fairy unity and that sharing and that, you know, so that not only are the people who are capturing it can grow, but the people who may have not captured it can see it, can be talked about, it can be explained, it can be shared. And that is the only way this feels.
Absolutely. Well, we've got about 10 minutes left in the show, but I want to talk about our other winner. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, we weren't able to get him on the show tonight. Joe, if you're in the background, I have sent you on Skype the 2 still pictures of his evidence that he submitted. And Greg, why don't you give us a little bit of information on those pics as we get them up there?
Okay, the other winner, or second place winner, Billy Gerber, submitted a picture from a residential location, I believe in Indiana or Illinois, I can't remember specifically. But the location, he had a lot of claims about activity, and they caught a very interesting picture located in the attic, in kind of like a crawl space where it appears to be a face peering back out at them, and it's definitely something out of place. A lot of people can have their own opinion on it. It seems like it's a pretty good catch, in my opinion. Something that could back up some of the claims that they were experiencing at the location. And that's ultimately what evidence is. You know, when we're called into a location to investigate, you are told by your client all these things that are happening, and your job is to back up what they're experiencing, document it if you can find it, or debunk it. And if there's something there, you can help it move on or make it move on if it's needed to be that route.
Hold on just a second. Joe, we've got the picture. Thank you for putting the picture up on YouTube. Some of the people in chat are asking if you can zoom in on it some. And again, for anybody that wants to check this out, you can go either to the Paranormal Connections Facebook page, or you can go to my page under Christina George. You'll see my picture. You recognize me. I still look the same. I'm not a troll or a fake account. You can check it out. It'll all be public, and you can check out the evidence for yourself and, you know, give some feedback. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't put it up, because I'll just delete your ass right off my page. I don't have time for all of that. But if you've got, you know, something that you would, you know, like to share, we'd love to hear your opinion. You know, I really liked this picture. I mean, same thing. I had to zoom in on it, but it is very interesting. I swear, sometimes, like, I wish that I wasn't a judge, because I have, like, a lot of really great evidence. And like I said, I never share any of it. So, you know, I wasn't going to put anything. But I love when you get some. And again, there's been some, you know, interesting picks that we saw. One, I know one of the judges had shared in one of our group chats, and it wasn't one that was okay. There you go. It wasn't one that was submitted. But again, I wish they would have. It's some great picture, great evidence of like a full body apparition, you know, that you could clearly see. So very, very interesting. And I love when people submit stuff like that. It's because it's amazing. It's amazing. And so many times you don't get the evidence that you'd want. Like for me, I don't know about you guys, but like EVPs, if they're not Class A EVPs, they're not really clear. Usually I will send it to each of my investigators and ask them what they hear. And if we're not all hearing the same thing, we don't really use it, because there's nothing worse than, you know, getting an EVP submitted and it's like, and then, yep, you know, somebody's yep, like, oh, the gates of hell open, they're coming to kill you. And I'm like, where do you hear that? I don't hear that. But this was, you know, what the people did submit. It was definitely interesting. And, you know, I love looking at this stuff. Like, I could look at it all day long, you know. And even if it's something that can be explained, again, being able to sit down and watch the, you know, take a look at this stuff and, again, maybe educate some people, if possible, on, you know, explanations. Because a lot of time teams, you know, they will put evidence out and say, hey, you know, like, what do you think? Am I, you know, this is what I think it might be, or what do you think it is? But, and it usually 99% of the time, nobody can agree. Like, there's like 50 different explanations and everybody sees something different. People are seeing something where it's not even, there's no evidence. And they're like, oh, that's one spirit. Oh, I saw it in the other corner. And, you know, so it's nice when people, you know, capture something and they have like a box around it, or, you know, Tony, like yours, the flare camera, I mean, pretty much speaks for itself. And somebody in our chat room was saying too, that like usually on the shows, the only stuff that they put up is where it has an actual heat signature. And, you know, a lot of times what people don't understand is that not always does it come up as a heat signature, you know, of it being in the red. I mean, a lot of times, and shoot, we notice, like, if we're standing there, we don't have anything, and you feel a real cold zone, you know, you can capture something there too. So again, a lot of times, you know, people don't know, they don't know what to look for. So I think that this is very educational for people to do some evidence review and, you know, share what they have.
Completely agree. Completely agree.
Absolutely.
All right. So, So Billy took second place for his entry. And what did Billy end up winning?
Billy gets a wonderful Supernatural and Paranormal University t-shirt coming his way.
Yay! Now, if people are interested on either maybe taking a class that's going to be coming up, do you guys have any idea when you are going to be offering classes and things like that?
Up and coming, sooner rather than later. We're looking forward to making some announcements really soon.
Awesome. So for everybody out there, you know, if you're interested in that, or if you just have some questions, Greg and Noah, like, they're great, you know, guys to ask questions of. They're always, you know, happy to answer questions and, you know, get back to you and talk to you. I mean, and that's another thing I love too, because so many people in this field now, you know, they get a little bit of a following and all of a sudden, you know, they think they're, you know, a superstar celebrity, paracelebrity, or whatever you want to call them. And, you know, they don't have enough time to respond to the people reaching out to them. And I'm just like, wow, you're just such in the wrong field. You know, like, you need to go be an actor, not a paranormal investigator, because we are really all about, you know, helping people and educating them and doing what we can to advance the field. So if they want to, you know, get a hold of you, great. So where's the best place that they can reach you guys at?
Facebook.com. Just search Supernatural and Paranormal University. We're the only one.
And I will actually put the link up to the Facebook page as well. So make sure to go over, join the group, join in on the conversation, get all of the notifications. So you'll be one of the first ones to know when the next contest is, when classes will be offered, all of these different things. There's so much that they have planned. We're not going to give it all away right now, but they've got a lot of ideas, really great ideas. And so looking forward to it. And Tony, what about you? If people, you know, want to reach out to you, if they've got questions or they're interested in seeing your radio show, where should they check out, or how can they contact you?
easiest place and the one I probably am on the most is my Facebook page, which is all you got to do is search Tony with a Y and Rathman, R-A-T-H-M-A-N, and they can easily find me. I'm either hooked to it or at least connected in one way or another most of the time. Questions can easily be answered there. We also have a website, which is entityvoices.com, where there is a blog and there's means to communicate. But Facebook's probably the easiest just because it's set up to communicate and the ability to ask questions and to get responses quickly. It's very easy. So Facebook would probably be the best choice.
Perfect. And for all the listeners out there, if you missed any of this information, I will put all of those links in the bottom of the promos that are across social media. So you can just click on those, make sure to friend, add, join the groups, whatever you need to do. And stay tuned for the debut of Tony's new show. Again, Tony, thank you for joining me and congratulations again on being the winner. It was great to see your entry and so glad you decided to participate.
Again, thank you. Thank you so much, Greg. Thank you to you. And just appreciate all of this. And I hope to put together a show that's going to, you know, make people think. So we'll see what happens. And again, love the contest and love this opportunity. So thank you.
You're very welcome. And Greg and Noah, thank you. You know, you guys are, I love having you guys on the show and you're welcome anytime. And I look forward to working with you guys more in the future on, you know, new stuff that you're working on. And again, get out there, check out everything. Sorry, we're having a little bit shorter of a show tonight. Normally it's the 2 hours. I was just going to do one, but we did 1.5. But, you know, as I said, I've had a family emergency, so I've got to head back up to the hospital here soon before it gets past visiting hours. So here in California, but I appreciate everybody joining me tonight. And again, if you have any questions, you can always send them to me. You can post in the comments below the promo or reach out to any of our guests. They're great. All right, everybody, absolutely. It's been a great night. Thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to Paranormal Connections on the UPRN Talk Radio Network 107.7 out of New Orleans. We have had a great discussion, and we look forward to seeing you next week. And hey, make sure to join me and Renee Chavez on Thursday night for Top Secret News. We're going to be discussing all of the top trending strange news in ufology, paranormal, and Bigfoot news. Oh my gosh, have so much you won't be able to stand it. And it's going to be quite comedic because some of the stories are very, very strange. So, all right, stick around on Thursday. We'll see you then. And till then, everybody have a great week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.